This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome everyone to today's ILTA podcast entitled From Analyst Processor to eDiscovery Consultant PM, Expanding Your eDiscovery Career. My name is Sean McClurg. I'm the litigation support manager for Miles and Stockbridge, and I will be your moderator today. I'm pleased to be joined by our speaker, Matthew Golab. He's the Director of Legal Informatics and R&D at Gilbert & Tobin. Thank you for participating, Matthew.
Thanks, Sean. Happy to be here.
So, Matthew, why don't we just jump right in? What are the key differences between being an eDiscovery analyst or a project analyst and being an eDiscovery consultant or project manager?
So I'll just give a context that I'm in Australia, so I can only speak to the Australian market. I've been in this area, just clocked over my second decade, so 13 years at one firm, coming up to 10 in my current firm, so predate eDiscovery stuff. So I guess the journey I took is different to the journey people take today. So in the Australian market, we have a lot of, not necessarily all, but a lot of firms have in-house teams doing all the work in-house, as well as probably maybe not 50-50, maybe it's 60% outsourced to 40%, but whatever the mix is. So you have a lot of variety in the market where some firms have it all in-house and some outsource. And so—
Can I interrupt real quick, Matthew? So when you say they have it in-house, that means that they have all of the processing, all of the storage, everything is within the firm environment, or they just have people employed?
No, that's right. So some of us are perhaps not quite the best in terms of your own sanity and whether you get to sleep, but we do the processing in-house. We handle the client data. Some do the forensic collections in-house. We do the hosted review in-house. Some firms, actually a lot of us in-house, have dedicated review teams, as well as augmenting those review teams with using LPOs, legal, you know, offshoring to lower cost resources for first round review. The whole range, and it really depends. Some clients have a stated preference. Some clients are doing the processing, and then you do the review in house. As a variety, but yes, we do all of it in house.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, not without challenges, and not always the best for you. Stress levels.
I can imagine. So within that environment, how do folks, what are those differences that you see between?
Yeah. So the chicken and egg for the industry in Australia is we have a lot of law firms, and eDiscovery is obviously, I wouldn't say increasing exponentially, but it is always increasing the amount of work that you have. And therefore in our industry, we have more work than people. And so typically most firms, almost, this is a double negative, so I'm sorry, but there are always vacancies constantly in the industry in Australia. And we largely, for this journey of analyst to project manager, I guess traditionally the way that's worked is people enter the industry at the outsourced companies, so the companies that do processing and hosting and all of that work, so that they enter the industry there, and then they probably stay 2 to 3 years or so. And that's a typical journey where they do the processing. So to date, it's predominantly Nuix. Workstation is the tool that they're using for processing. Other tools are used in the market, certainly, but that's certainly one that it was originally an Australian product as well. And so they then hit the point where they transition to a law firm. And so they then transition either into processing work at a law firm using same software, or, and I'm sure this is the goal everyone has, to leapfrog the processing job at entry level to a law firm and go to the project management. So it's a variety of different terms that we use to define project manager. At our firm, we call them specialists, but it's all the same.
Yep,
sorry,
yep.
What I mean by all the same is that I don't mean to diss project managers and specialists, but so I guess you've got probably a lot more experience. Because if you think about it, from a processing perspective, you're given a tight time frame and a hard drive or whatever, and you're just told process this using these instructions. And you're not given any context as to why you're doing that.
And then from a project manager perspective or a consultant role, what would then, from a processor perspective, you're given the data, you already have the instructions, you're already told sort of, okay, here's what we need you to do, and all you have to do is go. So how is that different from a project manager or a consultant role?
Yeah, and it really boils down to typically the processor or the analyst is doing the work on behalf, they're instructed by the project manager, and the project manager is interfacing with the legal team. They're interfacing with the partner, the senior associates, the other lawyers, experts, the client. And so they're very much front facing, and there's a very long journey to master that role. And obviously from the analyst, they're then looking to gain that experience so that you can work directly with lawyers, and then get the context of the reason we're doing this at 2 a.m. is because of this deadline. And,
right.
You know, and so gradually understanding the nuances of the legal process and why the deadlines happen and what we're doing. Of the mix of work that we do in Australia in e-discovery, you've obviously got commercial litigation. We have a lot of royal commissions and inquiries, government and federal. We have a lot of activity with the regulators. So our kind of competition regulator and our securities investment regulator. We had a royal commission a couple of years ago into the finance sector. And so there's still a lot of activity that continues from that royal commission from the regulators into that industry.
And is this something where, as a project manager, you sort of need to know the intricacies of dealing at these different levels?
Gotcha. Absolutely. So typically in a litigation matter, that matter may run for 2 years, 3 years, 6 months. And the e-discovery component is a very important component, but it's very labor intensive, but mm-hmm. That is just one part of the journey. And if that matter goes to trial and there's an appeal, you may be looking at 5 to 6 years for that matter to run. Whereas with a regulatory matter where the regulator sends you a notice to produce, you may have 2 weeks or 6 weeks. And so you're really shoehorning what may be a 6 to 8 week typical process into a very condensed timeframe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Of course. So how do people make that shift? How do you make the shift from analyst to project manager or consultant?
So I guess the skills that project managers learn is the empathy and your intuition on why we're doing the things. And if there are two paths to take, what are the risks associated with the paths? So from a processing, from an analyst perspective, your scope is you've got a hard drive, you've got a mailbox, you've got 50 mailboxes. So they're very different in how you're interfacing with others and thinking laterally. Whereas obviously thinking laterally and brainstorming and coming up with innovation from a processing perspective is about, at the end of the day, so that you can do processing quicker and you can get through more things. And that's just part of that process. So it is quite different skills, yes.
Well, yeah, it sounds like similar to in the US, as an analyst, you're sort of keeping, you're working for that PM, you're working in conjunction with that PM. But from a project manager standpoint, it sounds like you're working, you have multiple hats that you're wearing and multiple people that you have to interface with. And not necessarily try to keep happy, but try to keep satisfied with the work that you're doing and to continue to sort of show that you're, you know, adding benefit, adding.
Yeah, that's right. Because as you know, at times in e-discovery, it feels like nothing goes right. Everything goes wrong. I'm trying not to use expletives or colorful language, but things can go wrong in a fairly large scale. But also, things can go right in a really large scale. And I'm really talking about some of the more advanced techniques of using, you know, forms of AI, machine learning and stuff, where you can really save time, which is really exciting how the industry is slowly moving toward, or how AI is becoming more sophisticated. But that's a whole other topic.
What advice would you give to somebody who's looking to make that move? You know, what skill set should they try to hone? You know, are there certain, I don't want to say literature, because you know, I obviously don't want to promote certain things, but yeah, you know, are there certain things that they can research or?
So in Australia, we have a lot of practice notes from the regulators and the courts, and those practice notes are specifications for production. So they're saying how you're handling standard or non-standard files, what metadata you're providing, how you're handling redaction. So you've got that perspective in, that's why you're doing something in the end product. And then you've got the nuances of the legal process and how the different regulators work in terms of gaining an understanding of the flow of work. Each firm has different specializations, so you've got the nuances of different firms, and there's been quite a growth in our market of the service companies, the providers providing legal services. I'm going around in circles, but they're doing the processing and that they're doing hosting, and so they're offering consulting arms, so that there's quite now a shift, I guess. And then we've got the corporates are building these capabilities in-house as well. So there's a lot greater bandwidth in the industry and a lot more roles now, where traditionally it was you're in a service provider and then you move to a law firm and there's professional services firms. So now there's, you could stay within the service provider, you could be in professional services, you could be in a corporate, or you could be in a law firm, and there's independent consultants as well.
Oh, that's fascinating. So that was sort of leading to my next question, which was how has sort of managed services, and I don't know if you're experiencing it sort of similarly to how we're seeing it in the US, but how has the transition to managed services changed the job market in Australia, and does it influence the decision to move from processing to consulting?
It's still fairly early days, I guess. So yes, it's changing, but still probably 3 to 4 years away from seeing how that has changed things. But yes, it is definitely changing. Would that change the decision? No, not at all. That you'll still need processing. You'll still need project management skills. Obviously, as humans, we naturally, if someone is helpful to you, then you will naturally want to work with that person again. And so you've got the human empathy, and that, you know, we're providing a service. So the more helpful you can be, then it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I find that the more service-oriented you can be, the better you will succeed in roles, yes, of project management and things like that, as you try to make that move from, you know, I'm a processor, you know, to a project manager.
Yeah. And it's not easy. It's not an industry for everyone, because everyone is under fairly significant stress. The client is under stress. The law firm is under stress. You know, time is an immutable thing, and the time is never increasing. It's always decreasing,
right,
but the volume is increasing. And so that's tricky. And when you're working with people under pressure, you don't always see the best side of everyone. It can be difficult, and everyone needs to have their own toolkit to how to maintain your own equilibrium and how to keep turning up to work and being the best. And what I'm talking about is your attitude and how you work with people who sometimes you don't get on with someone, or sometimes you've had a bad day and you get this surprise that late on a Friday, just before you're about to go on the weekend, and boom, that's called e-discovery, by the way.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's a pressure cooker environment filled with constantly shifting timelines and an immense amount of pressures as a result.
Yes.
And it sounds very similar both here in the States as it is.
Yeah.
So you're
in the ICU ward, you're in trauma. It's just this constant flow of trauma.
Yes. Excellent. Do you have any sort of last minute tips or advice for people who are looking to make that shift, to anybody who's looking to make that move from an analyst to a consultant?
I think there's a lot of material available through ILTA, blogs, you know, there's lots of stuff around for people to learn. And generally, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and it's a very rewarding, fulfilling career path. And we all, generally, if you ask people, people will always give you some time, because we want other people to succeed. And that I think there's a lot more scope in our market for more people to enter the market. And because we have this issue that, as so touching on the AI stuff, that's in concept, the abstract concepts you're dealing with are very different to what we have been dealing with to date. And so there's a lot more, I think we'll see a lot more growth in different skill sets.
No, yeah, I completely agree. And I hear your point about this industry in particular. Legal technology is an exceptionally collaborative group of people, you know. So while we work in an arena that's incredibly adversarial as a group within that arena, people are always willing to help. And it's one of the things that is so enjoyable about working in this space.
Yeah. And just one final point that just came to me also is, a fascinating trend in review platforms having processing built in. And that, I think, will make that transition and the delineation between back-end analyst and front-end project manager, that will blur the lines a lot more, where it's built into the one platform. And so perhaps that will make, there may be less scope for processing in the future.
Yeah, I hear you 100%. Well, Matthew, I can't thank you enough. I want to thank you so much for your time. I want to thank the audience for tuning in. Matthew, absolute pleasure, and you did a fabulous job. I hope everyone has a wonderful day or evening, wherever you listen to this, and take care.
Thanks, Sean, and everyone stay safe.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.